Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Early season fantasy surprises, both good and bad. Major League Baseball news, including the return of Justin Verlander and Jordan Montgomery, and the ever so popular ads and drops for this week. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to an all new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, presented by Belly Up Fantasy Sports, Righteous Felon Jerky, and Seat Geek. I'm your host, Vince Stover, and I am joined, as I am basically every single Sunday night, by the senior fantasy writer for BellyUpFantasySports.com, and he's batting second today in the lineup, the one and only Kevin Wilson. I don't even know what that means, Kevin. How you doing, man?
I'm not sure, but I'm just glad to be in the lineup, and we're doing great. It was a great day here today. Sunshine, and yesterday was miserable, rained all day long, and we tried to get a pizza, didn't happen, so it was pretty dreary over here. And but how could you not be excited? Baseball, you got NHL, you got NBA, so sports is reigning supreme right now.
I will say this, I think the two hole was my favorite spot to hit out of. Lead off was for the fast guys, and I was not that, but I could get on base. And I thought number two was a pretty good spot. You got to hit a lot, and you know, you got to push the fast guy around the bases a little.
That's right. That's I agree with that 100%. So I'm going to stand here in the two hole, and I'm going to get you over to third. How about that?
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Let's see here. Today we are talking fantasy baseball, as we do every week. And let's get started with segment number one. We like to call it our fantasy burner. We want to spend our fantasy burner segment talking about how I came back and won last week against Belly Up founder Mike Brown, but I've been overruled, so we're not going to talk about that today. But the fantasy burner is presented by SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com is where you go to find all your tickets for any game that you're headed out to or other events and things like that also. So go to SeatGeek.com and use the code BellyUpSports at checkout. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase there at SeatGeek.com. We are talking about surprises today, good and bad, fantasy surprises here in the early season. And I think we should start with the good surprises, Kevin. So
okay.
What do you have lined up as a good surprise?
Okay, so a good surprise is like it's your birthday, you're expecting a tie, and maybe you get golf clubbed. Yeah. So, right? So that would be a good surprise for you. Awesome. And so the surprise I'm going to lead off with has to be the biggest surprise of the entire baseball season so far. And that's Ronel Blanco of the Houston Astros. The Astros have been an extraordinarily disappointing team so far this year, but we can't blame it on Mr. Blanco. And we all know the story now that he was working in a car wash and Houston offered him $5,000 and he signed. And he wasn't even guaranteed a spot on the roster coming out of spring training. Well, he made the team, and all he did was pitch a no-hitter.
Yeah.
So, and everybody was all like, oh, we got to have this guy. And I was like, wait a minute. They're facing Texas two times in a row. All he did was pitch six innings against both, both times. Again, he's gone six in all four of his starts. And he's 2-0 with a 1.33 ERA and how about an 0.85 whip. And he's got 90 fantasy points in our league, which is seventh in all of fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
So you talk about a guy who came out of nowhere. This is the guy.
I'm glad you brought him up, Kevin. My dad was throwing shade at you this weekend.
I know he was, because I said, don't do it. And he was right.
Yeah.
100% right. So, Dale, if you're out there, I'm sure you're listening. You are correct, sir.
He'll be happy to hear it. One other thing about Blanco, even though he's 2-0, he has four quality starts.
That's right.
All the starts have gone long enough to get those quality starts, which to me is a pretty big deal. I actually look at quality starts more than I look at wins and losses. Because I feel like that's an important stat, getting past that six innings and being close enough to qualify for that quality start too. So I like that one, Kevin. He was on my list also. I'll stick with pitching. Another guy that I wasn't ready for this year, I do have him on one of my teams, is Ranger Suarez from Philadelphia Phillies. He's 3-0, 1.73 ERA, 27 strikeouts, only four walks. He has also three quality starts. Last year, he was a 4.18 ERA, and he was walking 3.5 batters per nine innings. And right now, he's down to 1.4 batters per nine innings. So he's improved in some areas, obviously some important areas as well. And fantasy-wise, he has been a breath of fresh air on the whole rotation side of things, because he has been the best Philadelphia pitcher to date this season, although the other guys aren't super far behind him. Ranger Suarez has been phenomenal this year.
I agree with that. And he was one of the guys I was looking at, but I decided to go because we didn't think much of Boston over there. And so the pitcher I'm going to go with is Cutter Crawford. And the reason why I'm going with this, he was drafted 238th overall in our league. So there was no expectations. He's just one of those guys you take because you got to take somebody that late in the draft. But he's 1-0 with a 0.66 ERA, 0.99 whip, 30 strikeouts. He has 89 fantasy points, which means he's right behind Mr. Blanco.
Yeah.
In the pecking order for starting pitchers. And so you take him out of Boston, and who knows where they might be. They probably need a life preserver over there. But so as far as surprise, nobody was looking at Cutter Crawford. I know I wasn't.
I was not. And
I was not. And so he is a definite positive surprise this early in the season.
I like it. I want to go with another guy that you hated on at the beginning of the season, Kevin.
Okay. Hate on Kevin Day. I got you.
It's Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
He started here. He's hitting .256, eight home runs, 11 RBIs, five stolen bases. He's currently the eighth outfielder in fantasy scoring right now. Last year, he had 18 home runs on the whole season. And let's see, he's at eight right now this year. He only had two stolen bases last year. And it's like he just decided, hey, I'm going to go get all my stats this year because we're not going to win. So I might as well rack up some stats. He's not racking up the RBIs because no one else is getting on base. That being said, though, Mike Trout has been a pleasant surprise, which someone on this show predicted he'd be a top 10 outfielder at the end of the year. Currently, he's eighth. That could obviously fall throughout the year, but I'm pleasantly surprised by Mike Trout this season.
Okay, and I'm pleasantly surprised as well, and I'm glad because what else, baseball, Mike Trout, right? Okay, and so he's been, pretty much absent because of injuries, so hopefully he can avoid that bugaboo. If he can, we all know what he's capable of.
Right.
And so I'm really down with that. And so the surprise hitter that I'm going to go with is going to make us both not very happy.
Okay.
Okay. And that player is Marcel Osuna.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Neither you or I You know, he's not a good, ambassador of baseball and all other things you could say. But here he is, and Atlanta's playing right now. But going into today's game, he was hitting .338 with 8 homers, 24 RBIs, 14 runs, 83 fantasy points. And yesterday he had a 17-game hitting streak snapped. So he's getting on base. He's hitting home runs. And, if we want to talk, we're going to talk about some bad surprises in a moment. But, the guy up there at the top of the lineup has not been producing up, until right this week when I said, hey, didn't he have a home run? And let me just say, because I wrote an article about surprises, and a lot of those guys said, Kevin's writing about us, so we better get our act together. And so he's one of them. Yeah. And so, but Marcell Ozuna, he's swinging the bat as hot as anybody. So, we'd rather not speak of his name. I know that, but he is a big time surprise as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You say he had his hit, consecutive games of hits, streak snapped. We can only hope he get his leg snapped next.
So this might be the last time we mention his name for the whole rest of the year. Hopefully that's the case, but I felt we couldn't overlook him today.
Yeah, he's having a great fantasy season. I still refuse. I could care less. I'll not have him on my team. Not that the guys on my teams are moral, but I ain't doing that. But you're right. He is. He's having a good year. The last guy that I'll mention is Bryce Terang in Milwaukee, second baseman. Last year, he hit .218. He's currently hitting .323. He's got 2 home runs, 9 RBIs, and 9 stolen bases. Last year, he did have 26 stolen bases and only 6 home runs. He is getting on base at a great clip right now, and he has turned into what we were hoping he would be last year as Milwaukee fans, and that was someone who's consistent, and his consistency has finally showed up this year, and I'm happy to see it as a Brewers fan. And he's as well looking solid as a fantasy value right now also.
Thanks, Billy. He says, I'm looking good. Appreciate that.
All right. Those are our good surprises for the year. Let's go to bad surprises. Guys that were a little surprised that they have not performed well to this point. I think we're going to have some similar names on this one, Kevin, but I'll let you start us off.
Okay, so this, unlike what we just talked about a moment ago, this is when you expect to get golf clubs and you get all white underwear. So that's not such a great surprise right there. And so the guy I'm going to lead off with is someone that we spoke of last week. And I think that I said that I was going to give him 2 more starts. Yeah. And where I'm going with this one, because he just had another start. And we were waiting for him to get on track. Well, he's not only not on track, but he went off the tracks over the bridge. So the guy I'm talking about is Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Okay. He gets one more start, and then he's got to be out of there as far as I'm concerned. And this is why. 0-3 with 11.57 ERA, 1.97 whip. That's not bad. So maybe he's having some bad luck, but he's getting bit in the behind really bad about that. He has just 12 strikeouts, and this is what he's done. 1 fantasy point, -4, -3, okay? And he faced Washington. That was his first start. You figure, okay, that's a soft landing spot. 3 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits. And so, and then he's pitched against Tampa Bay, 4 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks. Arizona, 4.2 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits. So it is not looking good. And so I didn't expect he was going to win the Cy Young again. But I expected a guy who would have an ERA at least in the 3s, 3.59 or somewhere in there. But it has been an utter disaster so far for him.
Yeah, I agree. I'll jump ahead. He's on my drops list this week. And what I have down with him, though, is I say last chance for me is Wednesday. He pitches Wednesday against the Mets. And if that doesn't go well, I got to cut bait. I will give him that last start, but he is killing me right now. on the fantasy team. And yeah, that's, I'm very surprised by how bad he has been to start off this season for sure. Let's stick with the pitchers. Kevin Gausman is okay. Another one, 8.16 ERA. He's 0-2. He had negative 6 fantasy points versus Colorado, negative 12 fantasy points versus the Yankees. This is a guy that's supposed to be the ace. He's supposed to be on top of that rotation. And my goodness, it has been ugly thus far. And in my opinion, surprisingly ugly for Kevin Gausman.
Yes, and we hate to, at least I do, hate to be speaking negatively of Kevin's, but because I've got him, but I've got him on my list as well. And the part about Colorado, though, it wasn't in Colorado, because that's a whole different scenario. He was at home, and that did not go well. He pitched better against the Yankees his last time out, and it was reported his fastball was up. So, you know, he was pretty much a batting practice pitcher out there for a while. So it has not looked good. So maybe he can get it turned around. I'm giving him a longer leash than Snell. And so we'll see what's going on with that. I've got him on my list as well. And you know, I hate write down Kevin's and negative spots, but he definitely belongs. And so, you talked about him. So, a guy that you and I were both high on coming into this year, and I'm talking about third base and saying that he was going to be a free agent. He was going to swing the bat, and I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this. The Astros have been utter disaster so far. They lost today, and last I looked, it was 6-0. I think that's what the final was. They can't even score a run on the Washington Nationals. And part of the problem for them is Alex Bregman. Yeah. Okay. You and I both had him ranked high on our third base tiers. And this is what? 2.25. No home runs. Yeah. 5 RBIs, 3 runs scored, 1 stolen base, 29 fantasy points. And he needs a 1-for-17 slump right now. He's enduring that, so he's not coming out of it, and so it's not looking good for him at all. And I expected way more out of him, and it's not like he doesn't have, because he's got Jose Altuve over there, and he's sitting like 350 or something. Yeah. So he's got guys on base, so, and it's just not working out. And I'm very, very surprised about how ugly it's been for Alex Bregman so far this year.
Yeah, and right really in line with him, around the same draft spot as him, outfielder Julio Rodriguez, another guy with 0 home runs on the season. He does have 7 runs, 7 RBIs, and 6 stolen bases, but a measly 20 points in fantasy is not going to cut it for a guy that was supposed to be a first or second round talent. And him and Bregman both have been incredibly disappointing this year. Up to this point, could they turn it around? Sure. But my goodness, what a surprisingly bad start for those two all-stars.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, the first article I wrote on fantasy baseball this year, I was saying that Julio Rodriguez, ESPN, what are you doing over here? They have him ranked as, I think it was 38th, 30-something, right? And I was like, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out maybe they knew what they're talking about, because it's been like no home runs.
Yeah.
This is a 30-30 guy. I wrote about him in my article, so I didn't bring him up here. But, you know, some of these guys that I wrote about start, maybe it looks like they're starting to turn around a little bit. And so he's got to get it going. And the Mariners are kind of just free floating over there because the Rangers are giving him a shot. So, they definitely need a shot in the arm from Julio Rodriguez, but yeah. He hasn't delivered so far.
No, and he had a rough series against Atlanta. He was 1-for-11 against Atlanta with nothing to show as well. So, yeah, surprisingly bad. I had a couple other guys that not as bad as Julio and Alex. I had Alex on my list also, and Gausman. I got Seager, one home run, 6 RBIs, no stolen bases. He's hitting decent as far as batting average goes. And I've also got Pablo Lopez, the pitcher, 3.97 ERA, 1-2 record. He has 23 strikeouts, but against Detroit, he gave us 0 fantasy points. Against Cleveland, he gave us 4 fantasy points. Again, a guy that's supposed to be an ace, one of the top tier pitchers. You know, I mean, we had him. I think both of us had him around the top 5-6 pitchers, and he's not pitched like a top 5 or 6 pitcher right now to start off this season.
Yeah. So if you drafted him and you could have had Webb instead, just pointing that out, that's you're not happy about that right now at all. Yeah. And so, yeah. So those guys I'm with you with, down with you. And so now that we're talking about him, maybe that'll light a fire. And if that's the case, all you guys, you're welcome.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, Blake Snell, if you're watching and you need to buy a ticket to a baseball game, you can go to SeatGeek.com, get your ticket there, use the code BellyUpSports, you get $20 off, which is about as high as your ERA is right now. As that should work that way. All right, let's move on to segment number 2 tonight. And let's go to the call to the bit. Our call to the pin segment is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Now is the time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your order, and I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong. I will say this. There's one flavor that I'm not a fan of. It's the Truffalo Bill. I've never said this on air before, but I'll say it now. The Truffalo Bill, I'm just not a fan of it. All the other flavors are very, very good. The texture is great on every single package, and there is a lot of flavor in every single package. But I love the Bootleg and Barbecue. There's the Soul Survivor, which is great. The Bourbon Franklin's phenomenal. Even their turkey jerky, the Foul Capone, spectacular. So try it out, righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15. All right.
Yeah, whoever names these
should
get immediate promotion because they're awesome.
Yes. Yeah. They have great marketing for sure. All right. Let's get into Justin Verlander. Came back.
I mean,
you look at Snell and you go, okay, he had some time off. He wasn't injured. He just had some time off because he had a bad agent and all this kind of stuff. And you look at some different people and you're getting ready to see Max Scherzer come back before too long. You try to figure out how are these, especially these old guys, going to do when they come back. And Verlander, well, he looked okay.
Yeah, he did. And one of the other leagues that I'm in has less players on the roster and stuff like that. So get all done. And there's Justin Verlander sitting there. And so I said, okay, I added him, put him on my IL. And so we can this is a correlation here because his first start was against Washington, just like Blake Snell. So how did Mr. Verlander do? Well, okay, 6 innings.
Yeah.
Okay. 6 innings. Won the game.
Yeah.
All right. So the Astros definitely need a shot in the arm. And there's not any better pitcher that you can ask for to give you a shot in the arm than Justin Verlander. And so he comes in there and you got to be very, very pleased. Hopefully you didn't leave him on your IL. If you have him, you started him. And because you would be, you were quite pleased with his performance yesterday.
Now, that's a tricky thing. Pitchers coming off of injuries. What's your philosophy with that? Do you bring him in no matter who it is on the first start? Or do you ever let him sit to see kind of what's going to happen?
Well, a lot of that depends on, the pitcher.
Yeah.
Right. And so I figured, okay. It's Justin Verlander, and fortunately enough, in that league that I just talked about, I've got a sizable enough lead, so if he imploded, it wouldn't have mattered because I'm still going to win. And so you got to take all that into account. The pitcher, the matchup, what your status is. If it's earlier in the week, let's say he was pitching tomorrow instead of Saturday, maybe you don't want to start your week off with a potential hole. So you got to take all into account. Sometimes you just roll the dice. You go with your gut, and sometimes you're right, and sometimes not so right.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that I was looking at this week was also Jordan Montgomery's return. Him, like Snell, same agent, all the same issues for the most part. was working up to getting his first start of the season. And even though he wasn't coming off of injury, I really looked at him a lot like Verlander. But Snell scared me a little bit with this too. And I've got Montgomery in a league and chose to put him in the lineup and see what he had. And he comes out, he goes six innings, gets the win, three strikeouts, only one earned run, puts up 22 fantasy points. And so his outing was much more like Verlander's, not anywhere close to Snell's. I'm intrigued, though, by this because Arizona, like Houston, they need some pitching help. They need a shot in the arm when it comes to the pitching. They've had some injuries and some different things happen. And Jordan Montgomery looks like he's going to step right in and be an integral part of this rotation.
And so I liked Jordan Montgomery better, even though, you know, Snell won the Cy Young. But we saw what Montgomery did in the playoffs, and the Rangers won the World Series largely because they had Montgomery and Arizona did not.
Yeah.
So I was a little hesitant because, you know, he didn't have a team when we drafted. And so that kind of cooled my heels just a little bit. But I would have taken him. And Blake Snell was coming up, if I remember correctly. He was coming off the board earlier than Jordan Montgomery was.
Yeah.
And so I was not in on Blake Snell, given the mystery about him. But Jordan Montgomery, I like him. I've seen him. I'm up close. And I like what he can do. So Arizona, I think, got themselves quite, you know, they got the deal. They didn't sign Snell. They got the pitcher that's the better one. And so I think that they're in a much better spot now.
Yeah, I like it too. Let's go ahead and jump into our new favorite segment, Kevin. It's our Council Curse Track. All right, so the Council Curse Tracker this week shows the continued curse that the baseball gods have put on the Cubs as a result of Craig Council's backstabbing. I've got two guys that have been affected this week by the Craig Council curse. First of all, it's Albert Alzolay. He was the saves guy coming into the season, but he's blown 4 of 7 save opportunities and now has been demoted to setup, which he actually did pretty good at today. But loses his closer role all because of Craig Council's backstabbing. And then Christopher Morel, we've talked about him before. He's on a 1 of 17 hitting streak with one RBI. Not good.
No.
Boy, he was supposed to be one of the top second basemen in fantasy baseball this year. But thanks to Craig Council, you know, it's funny how you see how last year it was Bryce Terang in Milwaukee falling apart at second base. Now it's Christopher Morel at Chicago falling. What's the common? I don't understand where that. Oh, Craig Council. That's right. So there you go. By the way, three Cubs relief pitchers are currently in the negative points on fantasy. Albert Alzolay is one. Drew Smyly and Daniel Palencia are the three. And I have to think that if Craig Council wasn't in Chicago, their life would be going a whole lot better.
Right. They, you know, their home life would probably be much improved as well. So, you didn't mention Seiya Suzuki.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. And he's oblique, and he's going to be out till May 14th.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So, as I look at the standings, and the Cubs as a team aren't necessarily getting affected by this, but maybe they're giving them hope. Maybe that's what it is. And then they'll get socked with it later, a little later on in the season. But you know, I've mentioned some of their guys like Bellinger not swinging the bat well, and so.
Well, luckily for Houston, they'll be able to get back on track this week because they play the Cubs. So that'll help them. By the way, Pat Murphy, one of three Brewers managers to start off with 14 wins in his first 20 games. So congrats to him and to all Brewers fans who are enjoying a Craig Council-less season much more than we thought we were going to enjoy it for sure. Let's do talk about these standings, though, and let's start in the National League Central. Why not? Because Pittsburgh was running amok early in the year, and now they're at 500. Of course, they're not as bad as St. Louis, but still, it looks like maybe Pittsburgh is back to where we thought they would be, average, but not good.
Well, when you can't win a game in a week, that kind of, you know, rounds all everything else that you're trying to do. And so can they step aside a little bit? And because every team goes through adversity, but you know, the good times were there for 3 weeks or so. But I think it's, you know, reality. Once again, you talked about their starters, and they're coming back down to earth. Eric Bednar, to my detriment, has not pitched well, and he's on my team. He actually got some positive fantasy points for me. Yay! This is another guy that I don't know what was expected out of Bednar exactly, so I didn't put him down as a surprise, a negative one. Yeah. But he has not played well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Pittsburgh is what Pittsburgh is. You know, Cincinnati and Chicago are still currently respectable. They're over 500. I know I'm a Brewers fan, but man, I'm impressed with what Milwaukee's doing, especially with that rotation that they have in place. Colin Ray looked good again today. Wade Miley just came back from injury. We'll see if that helps or hurts. DL Hall goes to the IL. He has not been great, and he's kind of one of the prize pieces from the Corbin Burns trade, so that's not looking good there. But yet, they're overcoming these things, mostly with offense, but the pitching has been pretty decent for the most part.
That's right. And so if you want to use the Atlanta Braves as kind of your barometer,
you're right.
Atlanta's plus 37 coming in today. Like I said, they're playing right now, but they're at plus 37. The Brewers at plus 33. So they're right there with the Braves as far as, you know, what they're doing as a team. And you're the Brewers guy. And I was looking at them not knowing what exactly we were going to get out of Milwaukee coming into the season. Especially, you know, they made the trade and send their ace to Baltimore. Oh, no, what are you going to do now? And can Peralta do it? And which the answer is the most emphatic yes.
Right.
And right. And most emphatic, yes. And he was going off the board a little earlier than, so I didn't say he was a surprise, but he has been impressive.
Yeah.
And so you got to like what's going on over there. And of course, they've got the right Jackson on their team, not named Holiday.
Yeah.
All right. Because yeah. Holiday, all he's doing, he might be ticketed back to the minor leagues here real soon because all he's doing is striking out.
Yeah. We'll talk about Baltimore more in just a moment. The last week we talked about the AL West and that there's one team that's 500. Everybody else is below. The NL West is not much better. The Dodgers are two games over 500, but San Diego's at 500. Arizona's one game under, and San Francisco's three games under 500. I expected the NL West to be better than this.
Yeah. I did as well. I expect, you know, you talk about the wild, wild west. And I expected that, especially when, you know, Arizona signed Montgomery. Yeah. And then when the Giants signed Snell, I don't want to say his name too many more times, but we thought that would boost their pitching staffs, of course.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, because the Dodgers won today, but they had lost to And New York is a team that we started off bashing at the start of the year, but they're looking very much better, except for today when they just got blown out. But no team over there, not the Dodgers, not my Dodgers, not Arizona, not certainly not San Diego. I thought San Diego would be better than they have been. And the Padres, I guess this is what you just need to expect out of them is just a
underachieving.
They're mediocre.
They're the Toronto of the National League.
No, I agree with that. And that's not a compliment. If, you Padre guys are watching this right now, you're thinking, yay, we're Toronto. No, that's not good.
Yeah. The Canadians watching the show are going, ooh, hey, eh? Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, no. 13 teams have a better record than the Dodgers, better winning percentage than the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are in first place of their division.
And let me just mention this because the Dodgers have played 10 more games at home than they have on the road. So that's doubly concerning.
Yeah.
Right. Cause they're going to be hitting the road And they had a chance to really put some distance between themselves and the other teams playing that many games at home. It hasn't happened. So if you're a Dodger guy, as I am, and I'm, you know, I'm not shy about it, I'm a Dodger guy, and you could say, you know, boo me, whatever else you could say, but we have to be concerned of what we're seeing out of the Dodgers right now.
And the Dodgers only have 4 wins against teams who are over 500. So that's not ideal either.
Yeah. So we're just throwing more and more dirt on them right now. So we'll see. Maybe they need to get out on the road. Maybe it'll clear your head a little bit. I don't know, but it certainly hasn't gone as well as we thought, as I thought anyway.
Let's close this segment out with the American League East. All 5 teams above 500. Tampa is in last place, barely, as of this moment at the very least, with Toronto, Boston, Baltimore, and then, of course, the Yankees on top. Although Baltimore is only half a game back now on the Yankees. I really thought the Yankees looked like they were going to kind of run away and pull away with this division. But even though Jackson Holliday is struggling, the Orioles are right there, a large part thanks to Westberg, and the pitching. But Baltimore's right there.
They are, and they're plus 24 in their run differential. So the offense has been doing it, and so they're right there. And we kind of knew that. We didn't expect the Yankees to come blowing out the doors like they have, but we knew Baltimore, 100 win team a year ago, and so. It's going to be interesting to see. Not all these teams are going to be above 500 the whole year. And we'll just have to, because they'll start playing each other. We'll see what happens.
What do you think about Jackson Holliday? Do you really think he is going to get sent down?
I was excited to see him come up.
Yeah.
Right, because this is a guy that you believed in. I believed in him. You believed in more than I did because you drafted him.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, both of us were like, Baltimore, why you send him to the minor leagues? And then he comes, and it's been absolutely awful. And the guy that he had at second base, and his name escapes me right now, but he was playing better than this. So since they're winning, I don't know if they have a little patience.
Yeah.
And
you look at what he did in spring training, he's batting over 400. You know, everything looked to be clicking. I wonder if sending him down was the worst thing they could have done.
It's possible.
Because he's seeing slower pitching, not as good pitching, all that kind of stuff. Now he comes up and he's getting the best, you know, the best that are out there. And I don't know. I wonder if sending him down actually did more to hurt him than to help him. But he's swinging a lot and he's missing a lot.
Yes, he is.
And hopefully that gets him down. That's
what is the most concerning, because, you know, if you hit the ball, sometimes, you know, balls don't fall in, you know, Kevin Costner and all that stuff and everything, but he's not even hitting the ball.
Yeah.
And that's very concerning. A young guy who's just up there swinging and doing whatever. So if you're a pitcher, you don't throw a pitch anywhere near the strike zone on this dude until he actually shows that he could take a pitch off the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. That's it for our call to the pen, again, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. It is time now to wrap up the show with our final segment we call the Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy advice, and it's the place where you find all of Kevin Wilson's articles, BellyUpFantasySports.com. All right, let's get into ads and drops this week. I want to start with drops because I've only got two now that I already talked about Blake Snell, so let's go to drops this week and see who we got.
All right, so I had spoken about this guy going into the season, saying, hey, he was going to be their opening day starter. Use him, see how it goes. But it's over. Suspense over. Kenta Maeda of the Detroit Tigers. He's still sitting at about 25% rostered. 7.65 ERA, and two starts, five runs or more so far out of the four he's made. And 12, he's walked seven, and Tuesday he's at Tampa. And I don't like that start at all. So I have abandoned all ye hope to enter here. And so the first guy that has to go is Kenta Maeda. And I tried to trust him, but he has not shown it out. So he's got to be dropped.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going with a guy who was injured last year. Coming back this year, I was really high on. But again, hasn't worked out for him. Pittsburgh shortstop O'Neill Cruz, he's still owned in 58.8% of leagues. He's 2-20 this week from the plate. He's only had one positive scoring fantasy day since April the 8th. That's not good. That's basically the whole month of April. And I like his talent and I like his potential, but man, I cannot have him on my roster right now.
I agree with that. And, you know, why he has not been able to do anything positive fantasy-wise is because he leads the National League in strikeouts. Mm. Okay. I happened to be watching a baseball game when they switched to that, and he was batting, and that's what they said. And guess what? He struck out in that at bat. So you did not endear yourself to people who just tuned in to see what could happen. Strikeout. Yeah. So I'm with you on him. He's a guy that, you know, as you say, is talented, but hit the baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of guys that I have that one of them, which I was very curious because you added him. Okay. And that's Jack Leiter of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he went out and 3 2/3 innings, 7 runs on 8 hits, 3 walks. Okay. 17.18 ERA, and it was rumored that he would get sent down. Well, it's no longer a rumor because he is, in fact, sent to the, back to the AAA. So if you've got him on your roster, he needs to go.
Yes.
Back just to waivers.
Yeah.
Immediately.
So I battled with whether or not to add him. I did drop him the very next day, but I battled with that because I'm in four leagues. So I was like, well, I needed one league to go ahead and add this guy. And I needed points. And so I thought, well, let's throw Leiter in there and see what happens. If he's, and again, I'm from Middle Tennessee. He went to Vanderbilt. So I remember him in college and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, it's worth taking a shot. He's a high prospect. He did not look good last year in the minors, but he started off pretty decent this year. I didn't expect him to score 20 points. I thought maybe he'd get 8 to 10, somewhere in that range. But no, it was not pretty, and they did send him back to the minors. So he should not be rostered anywhere because his potential does not outweigh the reward at this point.
No. And you know, one of the other guys who actually has been successful, and that's Max Meyer of the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
And he has a 2.2 ERA and an 0.82 whip. Well, too bad. He was sent to AAA on Monday.
Yeah.
So yeah. Obviously, that is, I guess, to preserve an arm, I suppose. I don't know why we're worried about preserving arms, and it's only April.
Right.
But 0.82 whip.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
All right. But he's, unless you're in one of those weird leagues that's got the NA spots, which I have never seen, never experienced, didn't know that even existed.
Yeah.
But unless you're in one of those and you've got one of those, you know, spots.
Yeah.
He needs to go back to the waiver wire until he comes back up, and maybe not even then.
Yeah. Yeah. I he's an interesting one for sure. Cause again, he looked decent.
He did.
Still sent him down. So I know it's painful. I know one Marlins fan, and he didn't pick him up originally cause he was afraid of him. And then he regretted that, but nonetheless, he's gone now. Kevin, the next guy I've got, you may have mentioned either 2 weeks ago or last week. I could not remember, but it's the Colorado outfielder Nolan Jones. He's owned in 60% of the league, 60.5% of the league. So, Kevin, if you've mentioned him, people weren't listening. Batting 164, one home run, 6 RBIs. This was a guy a lot of people were in on coming into this year. Again, I said, I can't do Rockies this year. I don't like any of them. But Nolan Jones, he should not be on a roster, especially 60% of rosters.
Right.
There's plenty of outfielders out there that are giving you a whole lot more than Nolan Jones.
That's for sure. And this is the week. If you have him, this is the week because Colorado is at home. Okay. They've got four games at home this week. And if you don't want to listen to either you or I and keep him on your roster, the next four games, it's either go or just fall into the hole and we'll never see you again. Because the Rockies are not worth rostering, none of them really, when they're on the road to start with. And they're not playing too well at home. One of the mistakes, I made a huge mistake yesterday because I had Castillo in two leagues. I benched him in both leagues because he pitched in Colorado. All he did was pitch seven innings and gave up no runs.
Yeah.
33 fantasy points on my bench. Okay. And so the Colorado mystique is not there this year.
Yeah.
And it's not. And so if he can't even swing the bat at home, yeah, I agree with you 100%. He's got to go.
Yeah. And if you're tuning in live and you weren't listening early, I do have Blake Snell on this list too. But again, I'm giving him Wednesday's game. And if he gives me anything less than 10, I'm probably going to cut him loose.
Got to. And as we've said many times, this is a 10-team league. If you're in a 20-team league, I'm almost, you have to give him a couple more starts. But doesn't mean you have to, on your roster doesn't mean you have to start him.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, but in a 10-team league, he's hanging on by a fingernail, and it's coming loose. So yeah, he's got one more start, as you said. And I have a couple of Cardinals.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of guys. And this guy especially, I wrote a couple of weeks ago about Nolan Gorman. Okay. And people were like, you can't drop Nolan Gorman this early in the season. Oh, yes, you can. Because here he is, 178, three homers, eight RBIs. He has 12 fantasy points. There's probably 800 people that have more than 12 fantasy points. Maybe you and I have more than 12 fantasy points. I want to check into that. And he's an 0-17 slump. Okay. Yeah. And he's not one of those guys that have second base, outfield, and whatever. He has just second base, and that's it. You can get other players that have eligibility other places besides second and be better off than having Nolan Gorman hold, yeah, this big hole, absolute hole in your lineup. And I don't believe in him. I didn't believe in him a couple weeks ago. It's even less now. If you're in a 12 team or less league, he has no business being on any roster right now.
Yeah, honestly, Cardinals are a hard team to roster guys on. The Goldschmidt's really bad.
Yeah. Yep, I got one more to come. So
you go ahead. I got nobody else. So who else?
So the other guy is somebody that said you need to give him a little more time. All right, and it's Jordan Walker. He's 164, no homers, four RBIs, four runs, 10 fantasy points. We're a month into the season about. And 10 fantasy points. There are guys that get that in one game.
Yeah.
All right. And he's 1-11. And he's been out of the lineup in four games this week. So not only is he not hitting, he's not even in the lineup. He's got to go. Absolutely. He only is qualified in the outfield. He's got to go. Send him, away. Without a life preserver, go.
Yeah. I dropped Brennan Donovan this week. He's their highest scoring fantasy player right now, but he got his points early in the season. He had 0 points this week. In the last 2 weeks, he had 23 points. So that tells you, just in the last 7 days, he fell off the face of the earth. Needless to say,
right
now, if I'm looking at the Cardinals that I'm willing to consider right now, William Contreras has had some good days. Arenado's starting to come around a little bit. And even when the shortstop, I like him, but he's, again, lower level. He's your waiver wire when you need a shortstop and for just a couple days kind of guy. you know, I don't know that I would drop Goldschmidt, but I'll tell you what, I'd be starting to consider it.
Yeah, he's a guy that I almost went with as one of the bigger disappointments.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he's not elite anymore.
Ranked very high.
Yeah, he's not elite anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's a shame I didn't draft him. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, it's a shame the Brewers can't play the Cardinals every week. But all right, any more drops?
That's all I have for drops.
All right, so for ads this week, if you're looking for a team that you're going to go try to find and pick a player off of that's got a decently easy schedule this week, it's the Minnesota Twins. The Twins play four games against the White Sox, followed by three games against the Angels, and next week they turn around and play the White Sox again in a three-game series. So that's a solid 10 games for Minnesota players, whether it's pitchers, whether it's hitters. This is a good time to pick up some Minnesota Twins. Now, I don't have any Minnesota Twins in my ads list specifically, but if you're in need, I would start there, going to Minnesota and seeing who's available in your league for Minnesota.
That's always a good, solid strategy. And looking ahead at the schedule, the matchups are as important or maybe even more important than how a guy is swinging the bat.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, let's get into ads. Who are we adding this
week? Okay, so last week you talked about the Pittsburgh Pirates and their starting pitchers. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this week I'm going to go back on and get back on the horse with the New York Mets. And as I back in the first weekend, I talked about Luis Severino.
Yeah.
All right. He's at 13.9% rostered. Okay. After that first disastrous start, 21 innings, he's 2-1. He has 21 strikeouts. He's 2.14 ERA. Okay. In his last three, 16 innings pitched, two earned, nine hits, one in his last two. Tuesday, he's at San Francisco. And San Francisco is at the bottom of, and that's a hitter or a pitcher's park to start with. San Francisco's not swinging the bat well. So I like that start a lot. And so if you're looking for a starting pitcher who has turned his, you know, situation around, Luis Severino goes right to the top of the list.
Okay. I got a pitcher that came back from injury, not named Justin Verlander, but Cincinnati Reds' Nick Lodolo comes out. Okay. It's his first start of the year. He is 2-0. He's owned already in 40.9% of leagues. That jumped up drastically after his last game. 16 strikeouts on the year. His ERA is 0.75. That's pretty good, in case you didn't know. I like Nick Lodolo. He was on my draft list, but he got hurt right before the season, so I did not draft him in any leagues. And, man, he's looking good here in the start of his comeback of this season.
If he's available, he's definitely a must-add. Yeah. And a guy, also New York Mets, facing those same San Francisco Giants. Uh-huh. He's at 6.1% rostered, and that's Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
We talk about a blast from the past right here.
Yeah.
But in 20 and two-thirds innings, 1-1, okay, 3.05 ERA, not quite so good. But this is what he's had to face. Pittsburgh, back when they were good, at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, and Milwaukee. Yeah. So that's kind of a murderer's row of some hitters right there. And with a 3.05 ERA, that's solid. He pitches tomorrow against those same San Francisco Giants. And I know you don't want to hear this, but their hitters are not hitting. And so at 6.1% rostered, he's got to be available universally throughout the land. And if you're looking to get yourself in, that puts him in a position to maybe be a two-start pitcher next week. Sure. So you might want to look into that. So he goes right up to that top of the list of pitcher ads to me.
Yeah. Here's another pitcher that you wouldn't expect to hear come out of my mouth.
Okay.
But he's a Detroit pitcher this year, Jack Flaherty. 17% owned. He has pitched six or more innings in every single one of his starts. He's got 30 strikeouts as well on the year. Again, he's not a guy I consider an ace at this point in his career. But that being said, he's having a good start here in Detroit. You talked about dropping a Detroit pitcher. I think this is a guy you could pick up from Detroit.
I agree with that. And there's a pitcher. I can't even believe it. That's my last pitcher I'm going to go with right here. And that's Brandon. And I never could figure out how to say this dude's name. Fott? Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And when I watched him, he was getting lit. Arizona, he was getting lit by the St. Louis Cardinals of all teams. Okay. But ever since then, though, he's got a 5.32 ERA. You can ignore that. He's pitched in the sixth inning and six straight starts. He held the Cubs, the cursed Cubs, to 2 runs on 6 hits and 7 innings, 6 strikeouts, 0 walks. And he's at 18% rostered. So he's a guy who, in Arizona, they've got the bats over there. So I like what they can do behind him. And he's, after that 6 runs he gave up in the first couple innings, he settled down. I'll give him credit for that. So Brandon Fott is a guy who is available that if you don't like your Mets pitchers, look for him, and he can help your team this week.
All right, let's go to the offensive side of things. Okay. Kerry Carpenter, outfielder for Detroit, another Detroit guy, 12.4% owned. He started off pretty slow, but he's hitting .323, 3 home runs, 11 RBIs. He's starting to come around now to where some people expected him to be. He was a late round value, I felt like, in drafts, but like I said, really slow start this year. He's picking things up, and right now, if you need an outfielder, maybe you're dropping Nolan Jones and picking up Kerry Carpenter.
Okay, that sounds positive. And so we're going to go offense. How about we look towards the Seattle Mariners?
Oh, boy.
Not Julio, okay? But Mitch Haniger is a guy who I had no confidence going into the season.
Yeah,
he hasn't been the Mitch Haniger we've seen a couple years ago. But, okay, 13.5% rostered, .275, 3 homers, 13 RBIs, 10 runs. And he has hits in 10 of his last 12 games. He drove in runs 3 straight games this week. So if you're looking for an outfielder, he's a guy who is putting the bat on the ball. And so look to him for some offensive help. I think you'll be quite pleased.
I like it. I'll go with a guy that's made noise this week, the Atlanta catcher, Travis d'Arnaud.
Okay.
Listen, he's
hit 3 homers yesterday. Friday.
He homered
yesterday too.
He's owned in 13% of leagues. He's taking over at the Atlanta catcher position at the moment. Sean Murphy, of course, out with injury. He's a veteran. He's been around. He's had some success here and there. Catchers to me, if you don't have the premier catchers, and there's only like 2 or 3 of them, I don't have a problem with rotating through guys. And I think that you go with the hot hand, and right now, I mean, he's on a good team in Atlanta. He seems to be playing, you know, at least two days in a row before taking maybe a 1 day off and then getting back to it. Well, my goodness, he's hot right now. So I guess why wouldn't we pick him up?
I had him on my list as well. You talk about a guy that's hot. There's nobody hotter than him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay with the Atlanta Braves. I mentioned him last week. Shortstop Orlando Arcia.
Yeah.
I talked about him. He's still only at 20.5% rostered, but he's hitting .348. All right. Hits in 4 of his last 5. Two hit games this week. And so he's hitting in a lineup that's, as you're talking about the catcher, right? And he's hitting lower. He's hitting home runs all over the place. And we haven't even talked about Olsen or any of those other guys. So anybody that's in Atlanta that's 20.5% rostered, you're going to want to look at and get them on your team.
I like it. I don't have anybody else, Kevin. You got anybody else to add?
Nope. That pretty much brings it to a close.
Okay. I like it. There's some good options for you this week. If you're trying to find someone to add, well, now you know you got a few guys to at least look into.
That's right. Because remember, the waiver wire is where champions are determined.
Yes. That being said, quick look at our league. I'm going to lose for the first time this season, finally. Dan D'Amico is crushing it again this year and crushing me this week. Kevin's going to win for the first time. this week. Granted, he got the easy draw this week with Brad Linsky, but good win and a whole bunch of points for you this week. Let's see here. Dad is absolutely crushing Elizabeth. He'll go to 2-2. Mike Brown's going to pull off the win, get his first win of the year. He almost beat me last week. I just, thanks to my reliever, snuck that one out. And Chase Thornton, he's still rolling. He's going to take out Nate Nguyen this week as well, scoring 462 points. That's a lot of points as well. So Chase and Dan will be at the top of the board. And then I'll be in sole possession of second place. And then after that, we'll be a couple guys at 2-2 from there. And now, Kevin, we're going to watch it each week as Kevin now begins to run amok through our league. I'm sure he'll go undefeated here on out as well. All right, let's talk about what's going on this week in the world of Kevin Wilson. What are we looking for on bellyupfantasysports.com?
Well, you're looking now, because I mentioned earlier that I wrote the article about surprises. I talked about some players over there, such as Harper, okay, because he only had one game so far going into this week. Well, he's had hits in five straight after I wrote about him, okay? Then I wrote about Vladimir Jr., and he hasn't been swinging the bat. Well, he had hits in four straight after I wrote the article. So all of you are welcome, okay? Yes. So you can get over there to the Belly of Fantasy website. That's where all of my articles are. And also on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, where time begins, as I understand it, Nathan, you mentioned him a moment ago, Nathan and I, pigging out, all right? We'll have a show. It's our second show. We had our first one this past week, and I thought it went extremely well. We'll be talking about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and talking about, of course, because the draft is this Thursday,
yeah,
starting in the first round. We'll be talking about the NFL draft. So, you know, everybody wants draft news and notes and everything else. So we'll be talking about some who we think should be taken where. I know you talked about that on your past show, but ours is a little shorter show than a lot of, you know, on the Belly Up Fantasy or Belly Up Network. And we take about 30, 45 minutes and just throw some information out there. We tie it together with some fantasy. And so you're definitely going to want to get there. Tuesday, as I mentioned, 7 Eastern, wherever you get your podcast.
I love it. The name of the podcast is Pigging Out. It's not Kevin and Nathan pigging out. It's the, that's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show. Just and, yeah, that's right. We try and keep the consumption to a minimum during the show. So
yeah. So I got a lot of draft content coming out this week. Tomorrow night, Monday night, the Sports Stove local hour. The plan is, I'm supposed to still confirm this, talking with EKU head football coach Walt Wells. He's got a couple of guys entered into the draft this year. One that is everyone's expecting to go on day three of the draft. And then he's got another couple of guys who could possibly get in the draft as well. So I'm talking with Walt Wells on Monday night, 8 o'clock on the Sports Stove YouTube channel. Then on Wednesday night, Dad will join me for our regularly scheduled Sports Stove podcast. And I'll be doing my mock draft 3.0. Dad will be presenting his mock draft as well. We will be predicting perfectly how day one of the draft will go on Thursday night. So tune in for that conversation. I'll also
definitely want to tune in for that one. That's for sure.
Yes. And then the plan is for Chris Prince, Belly Up NASCAR, to join me as well. We'll talk about what went on at Talladega today and look ahead as well. Then on Thursday, you can find me on Belly Up YouTube channel. During the draft, I'll be joining DJ and Kelsey on a draft conversation. I'll be on late in the night around the Packers pick to talk mainly about the Packers. But hopefully by the time I come on, I will be able to brag about the 24 previous picks that I picked correctly on my Wednesday night show. So lots of NFL draft stuff. I love the NFL draft. So really excited to talk about the draft this week. And hopefully you'll tune in. And by the way, the Sports Stove NFL Mock Draft 3.0 will drop Wednesday morning on bellyupsports.com, by the way. So that'll be out there as well. You can catch 1.0 and 2.0 currently available on bellyupsports.com as well. So a busy week, an exciting week of sports.
It is. Sports up the wazoo.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched racing today. I watched a little bit of basketball today. First NBA I've watched all season, watched a little bit of the playoffs of that. And then again, the draft coming up too. So a lot of fun things happening, catching some baseball, some different things happening around as well. So catch Kevin on Twitter at Kevin62WILSEA. You can catch me on Twitter at Sports Stove. And you can catch us both next Sunday right here for the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. All right. That's all that we got for tonight. So check out our sponsors, BellyUpFantasySports.com, RighteousFelon.com, and SeatGeek.com. Don't forget to use those promo codes at checkout to give you some money off as well. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
See ya.